Hello, friends. Welcome once again to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Steve, and we're so happy that you've joined us today. Today, we start this month's Newsworthy Clips. It's a monthly feature where we want to help update your vocabulary with news clips that we've taken from different sources around the world. With me to help teach these lessons in the studio is Albert. Welcome, Albert.
Hi, Steve. Good to be here. Looking forward to talking about today's article.
Always love having Albert in the studio. He always brings a different perspective to things. And also with us is Pauline. Hi, Pauline.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we love having you too. So glad you're here to discuss these clips with us. Today we'll be talking about game theory, demonstration skill, land a job. So we're talking about video games, and it's so popular today. I remember when I was a kid, video games were very, very basic.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what Pong is?
Yes.
That was like, I remember when that came out. It's like a table tennis thing where the blip goes across the screen and just back and forth.
So it's like a ball passing between two paddles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very, it's simple, but fun.
Oh, we loved it. I mean, we didn't know anything else as kids.
Right.
And so when we saw that, we were just amazed. And, of course, video games have grown and developed so much over the years. I remember just pumping quarters into machines, going to the arcade as a kid, playing Asteroids, which is an old favorite for many, Space Invaders, Missile Command. How about you? Were you heavily involved in video games?
Yeah, my dad himself was what I would guess. He called himself a gamer.
Your dad?
Yeah. He would buy, like, Nintendo, but it would be under the pretense or premise, like, oh, it's for our son. Right. So I guess that's one reason to have a child.
That's great.
But what I like about video games now, it feels like it's prevalent in today's society. It's just everywhere, but we don't call it video games anymore. We call it apps.
Mm-hmm.
People don't consider themselves gamers, more like, oh, these are mobile, light, fun apps.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's changed a lot.
Yeah.
Pauline, have you ever been sucked into the vortex of video gaming?
Well, yeah, what Albert says really rings true. I never really did much with video games besides, we do have an old Nintendo system back in my parents' house that's actually out in the garage that my dad and us kids would go play every once in a while together. Mm-hmm. But other than that, we kind of steered clear from video games. But now having the phones that can have these apps kind of changed that, where I got one called Bejeweled, and it's just like you're trying to line up colored jewels. But I got so into it, I had to finally tell myself I had to delete it off my phone because it was taking up too much of my life. But on the other hand, I'm new to Taiwan and I'm new to trying to learn Mandarin, and I am so excited about all the apps that are available for learning, and a lot of them incorporate little games in them.
That's
and
right.
That keeps me going. So instead of staying up way past my bedtime just playing some silly match the jewels game, at least I'm matching Mandarin words with their characters and learning something.
Excellent, excellent. Good, good. Make good use of your time when you're on the phone. I was amazed these last few years just channel surfing, and you see shows and even some channels are devoted to video gaming competitions.
Oh, really?
and strategies and showing gamers how to play certain games. It's really blown wide open. I mean, there are people older than me or my age who make a living out of gaming, right? And they go to competitions, and that was just unthinkable back then. It was just a diversion. It was just like a video version of board games, you know, when you're young.
Right.
But it's just taken off. I'm just amazed.
I guess it kind of makes sense where, like, you know, if there's a challenge and we want to be the best, it brews, like, competition. And, you know, if people like the platform, they will want to watch it. They want to see people who are really good at it. And, yeah. So it's really nice seeing a different market or niche come up.
I suppose it's like sports, right? I would assume every sport started just as a fun game that somebody came up with to play amongst friends or family. And then as it grows in popularity, you get a bigger and bigger following and people are competing and you're watching to see who's the best at it. And it turns into this whole other thing. So I guess that's what we're watching with video games.
Pauline, that's a great analogy, actually. And we're going to go back to that analogy later in today's lesson. We're talking about video games and how they can be educational. Of course, they're entertaining. But now in today's lesson, we're going to learn that video games enable employers to look for employees. Let's learn more about this as we open our advanced magazines to page 20 and read with us Game Theory, Demonstrate Skill, Land a Job.
Game Theory, Demonstrate Skill, Land a Job. Looking for work is hard work. And for those who don't even know at what jobs they'd excel, it's not simply hard, it's baffling. So why not make a game of it? Serious fun. New mobile video games devised to determine the strengths of players in areas like snap decision-making, risk-taking, and perseverance are exciting career advisors as well as employers who want to tap pools of workers with potential. Stuart Meese, Executive Director of Career Services at Virginia Tech, is planning on introducing games from NAC Incorporated to students, especially those who haven't majored in a technical field closely tied to a certain type of career path. The three games, Meta Maze, Dashy Dash, and Bomba Blitz, are available for schools to offer students, for employers who pay to find players who excel at various skills, and are free for the public to download through Google Play or the App Store, says Guy Haftek, NAC founder.
Okay, thank you, Lois. I'm going to ask you too, have you ever been in a position where you were looking for a job?
Many times.
Many times, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Albert?
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a fun place to be in life, is it?
Not at all.
No,
it's it can be demoralizing.
Right.
It's tiring. It's
tedious.
Tedious. Oh, man, you're just looking for any help, any tip you can find.
Right.
Making connections with people.
Networking.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of hard work.
It is.
And so using your phone now with this app can help you find a job, according to today's author.
Mm-hmm.
It is baffling. The author says looking for work can be baffling. Let's take a look at that word really quickly. Albert, help us understand this word, baffling.
Baffling is when, you know, it's something... I feel like when I hear the word baffling, I think of confused. Something like, it's like, oh, I'm surprised, I'm unable to understand fully what it is.
Yeah, right. Someone may say something and you're like,
oh,
that's baffling.
Well, yeah.
I really don't understand what you just said. Well, looking for work can be baffling. It can be really hard to do and hard to understand the right way to do it. So the author says, why not make a game of it? And kind of like you said earlier, Pauline, when you're having to do something that can be hard, like learn a language, making a game of it can often be a good way to find encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Take us into the next paragraph, Albert, please.
So we're talking about serious fun. We have new mobile video games, and I feel like they just repackage it so it's like a test. But now we can test you in different areas. You know, some people are really good at test taking. Some people are not. That doesn't make them any less or it makes anyone better. And here we can use video games to measure a player's or a person's strengths or where their strong points are.
Right. I just came to mind thinking about maybe joining the police force or joining the army. And they give you all these tests to take to determine your emotional state, your mental state, and your physical state. Well, this is kind of like that, except it's just more basically your mental state, right?
Mm-hmm.
Focusing on that. They test, can you make a snap decision? Are you good at making snap decisions, Pauline?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think maybe I should do this app. Just tell me what they think.
Well, I can answer that question.
Okay.
Because I'm going to share something you shared with us earlier,
oh,
if you don't mind.
No, yeah, go ahead. I'm curious to hear your insight.
Pauline just got her first smartphone.
Okay.
When?
Just a couple weeks ago.
A couple weeks ago.
Right.
So she was thinking about this decision for many, many years. So that's not a snap decision. So I feel like you take your time.
With something. I think it just depends on how high risk or how big of a decision it feels like it is.
Fair enough, fair enough. Okay, Albert, snap decisions.
Snap, snap. Well, snap is like when you snap your fingers, right?
That's very quick.
Snap. Yeah, so it's quick, decisive. No, I like to marinate. I like to like stew. Like
think about it a lot.
Yeah.
From different angles.
Like a good pot roast.
Me too.
Let it marinate a little.
Me too. Risk taking, I'm not a big risk taker.
Oh.
Pauline, what do you want to say?
Well, I was just thinking some more. I was thinking maybe just the fact that I can't make it a snap decision as to whether or not I am a snap decision maker is probably showing that I really am not. Like, I have to even think about that question before I give you
sure.
a really quick answer.
Okay. But what about risk taking?
Risk taking. Ah, oh, man. I
don't that's fascinating in itself.
Oh,
man.
Risk taker? Albert.
I don't even want to say that word. It's so risky. I feel like I'm edging towards safe. Mr. Safe.
Mr. Safe?
Yeah.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
What about you, Steve? I feel like you take risks.
I take calculated risks.
Oh.
Yeah, I think about them first, and I try to weigh the pros and cons as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
I like a few fun, risky things, like jumping off rocks and stuff.
Ooh, that's right.
I like
that kind of
things.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, even that's a little much for me. My sister, she's the one. I lived in Costa Rica for a long time, and we lived right next to a waterfall that a lot of people would jump off of. I don't know how many meters high it was, but it was 40 feet high.
Okay.
So it was quite a tall waterfall. I lived there for years and never got up the gumption to go ahead and do it. My sister came and visited for a week. She did it. My brother came for a week. He did it like 10 times.
Love it.
So they're much more risk takers. Yeah.
As a side note, did anyone get hurt doing that you know of?
Well,
they must have, right?
There has been some instances, but usually they were in conjunction with some other not wise decisions that they made along with it, or just like they slipped on their way, or they tried to do a dive, which you really need to be careful about that kind of thing.
Sure.
But I had been told that for what it is, it's a very safe jump so long as you jump straight and you don't flail or flop along the way.
Okay.
That kind of thing.
I want to do that. Let's move on. Perseverance. I feel like I'm pretty steady and go forward. Slow and steady is my motto. How about you?
You know what? Perseverance is really underrated. I feel like in life, perseverance is a quality that should be, just instilled in people.
Okay. Do you have it?
No, I don't.
Okay. What about you, Paul?
I don't think I naturally do. I think it's something I have put intention towards growing at, but I'm a pretty emotional person, so I think that can be hard. Like, I'm not the slow and steady emotionally person. My husband's much more the steady person who can keep me calm so that I can persevere.
Okay.
But I tend to be a little more emotional, so it's easy to react and jump ship, so to speak.
Got it. Well, these three qualities, snap decision-making, risk-taking, and perseverance, these are some things that career advisors are looking for when they're looking for employees. And so the video game makers are making these games that can give a good indication as to whether or not a person has these qualities. And so employers who want to tap pools of workers with these qualities can go to the makers of these games and learn some things about where to find these people. Okay, let's go to the next paragraph quickly. Albert.
Right, so we have this director of career services, and he's planning to introduce games from NAC Incorporated to students, especially those who have a major in a technical field. So it's something like we can say it's off the beaten path. We're like, hey, you're not sure, or we're not even sure, what you chose as a major or minor, which direction it can go in. Yeah. But maybe here's a tool that we can give you to help you figure it out, and maybe we can place you with a growing, upcoming job.
Well, the fact is, there are a lot of people out there, and maybe you're one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You are in school, and you are studying something that maybe you didn't have a choice. Maybe you don't like your major.
Mm.
Or maybe you're very good at something, but that's not what you're studying. And so these games are designed to kind of highlight where your strengths are, regardless of what you've studied.
Right.
And some people haven't studied a specific subject. It's just like, I'm a history major. I went to school to study history.
Mm.
You know, that's not really a major specific thing, as opposed to electrical engineering, which is a little more specific.
Question?
Yeah.
Did you study history?
I did.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
I was telling the truth. So these games are designed to bring out those qualities that may have been missed, that may not appear on a resume. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I like, especially for those who are about to hit that, oh my goodness, I'm going to graduate. What do I actually do with this diploma, this degree that I'm going to be holding in my hands? I know I had that too. I majored in intercultural studies, which also is a pretty broad field that doesn't have a specific career application. So I can really see for a lot of people in that moment, in that position, how this can give some guidance.
Yes.
Yeah, and a lot of times, you know, you meet people, 4 out of 5 times, people were like, oh, I studied this, but I ended up in this field or job that doesn't have anything to relate with my major.
Yeah, I hear this a lot. A lot of employers don't really care what you majored in.
Oh.
They're more interested in knowing that you completed a program, that you have the perseverance to go through and finish the job.
Mm.
That's what a lot of employers are looking for. Okay, this next paragraph, it says the three games are available for schools to offer students, and they're also available for employers who pay to find players who excel at various skills. But they're free for public, for us, if we want to go look for them and play them. And so this is kind of an interesting business model that we'll talk about more after the next reading, which starts at the top of the right-hand column. So friends, why don't you join us for that right now? Why games?
Why games? Players are fed the results and also are invited to supply background information, like the type of degree they hold. Haftek says, employers can then filter results. He explains, looking for those who are proficient at various skills, but also hold a college degree, for instance. If an employer is interested in a player, the firm sends a notification and the player can connect. A central benefit of the gaming approach, believes Haftek, is that candidates who would otherwise be passed over, perhaps because they don't hold a degree from the right school, get noticed. Employers use NAC to fill lower rung to higher end positions, he adds, paving the way. Another firm, Pymetrics Incorporated, now lets anyone play its 12 games through its website, but is planning a mobile app soon, says Frida Pauly, firm founder. Currently, the employers using Pymetrics tend to look for college-degreed workers. But as employers sign on, that should expand, she predicts.
All right, friends, if you're just joining us, we are on page 20. We're talking about apps and video games and specifically games that help us understand ourselves more, what our strengths are, and then we can, and also other people like employers, can learn about us and help us get a job perhaps. So players, when they're playing the game, they're fed or provided their results, and then they are invited to supply background information. And Albert, we've talked a lot about this in the past. What do you think about that?
I like it. I mean, it's, again, like we mentioned, it's a different way to find people And I feel like it's just a new way to network. It may sound strange. It's like, oh, you know, games are for kids, for children. But here, it's something like, oh, it's an unforeseen marketing tool that, you know, could potentially work out.
Yeah, I'm sorry I'm such a sourpuss on this information thing, but are you okay giving out your personal information, like your the degree and your what all this personal information about yourself, your credit card number? I'm kidding.
I feel like there's no way to control it.
Oh, I'm just curious to know how much personal information they want. If it was just my degree and my name, probably okay. And the nice thing with email, too, is it feels one step removed from really giving all of my, like, home address stuff. But if they start to ask about, like, age and ethnicity and all that kind of thing, then I think I would begin to feel a little more uncomfortable with it. If I feel like it's just to do a really quick filtering match, like they're talking about, of going through with some basic criteria of you need to have a degree in a certain, maybe in a certain type of field, and we want to see these kind of skills having come up with your game playing.
Right.
Then
right.
I'm really, I think I personally would be very comfortable with it. But
it's no different than going to the employment office and filling out a form, right?
Right.
Yeah.
It is different, yeah.
I'm sorry, it would be no different than doing that. You'd be giving your information out anyway.
Right.
So, and if you're desperate for a job,
right,
you're like, yeah.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you my middle name.
Wait, so my question to you, Steve, is, you know how, like, supermarkets in the States, like, hey, if you want a membership for discount, you have to sign up.
Yeah.
Would you not sign up for those things?
I sometimes do.
Right, you put your name, where your address, and your age?
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Well, employers, they can filter the results and filter through this information that's been given, and they look for people who have various skills, like what degree do you have and so forth, and they're looking for someone who is proficient at a certain skill. Let's look at that word proficient for a second. Pauline, can you help us with that?
Well, proficient just means... I'll look at the definition here, but to give my off-the-cuff definition, I think of somebody who's mastered a particular skill. If they're proficient at something, they're highly skilled at it. I am certainly not proficient at Mandarin. I'm a brand new beginner. And I would even be hesitant to say that I'm proficient at Spanish, even though I am highly conversational. Proficient just shows such a degree of mastery that the only language I could say I'm proficient at really is English.
Okay.
So that would be a way that I would use the word proficient.
Okay. I would say yes, but I'm not sure I would go that far. I think if you are conversational in Spanish, that would, in my mind, be proficient.
Oh, thank you.
Something that you don't have to think about,
sure,
that it comes second
well.
Nature. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I would say you're proficient. If you can play the piano and you're not really struggling through mm-hmm. it, it's just something that you naturally do because you've had so much experience doing it. Yeah, you're proficient. Are you proficient at anything?
Changing a car tire.
There you go.
It's smooth.
You don't even think about it.
Right. I had a used car, which is great. You know, my parents were generous. And the thing would, like, always, for some unknown reason, the tire would pop.
Okay. Bad news. Let's go to the next paragraph. And if an employer is interested in somebody, then the firm sends a notification, and then those two people can connect. So mm-hmm. here's the business model coming into play.
Mm-hmm.
The employer pays the app people, and then they can make the connection with the player. And the person believes, the person who created these games believes that some of these people who would otherwise be passed over mm-hmm. or overlooked would get recognized. And again, here's that analogy that you mentioned earlier about athletes. There are a lot of athletes, good athletes, that get passed over for the professional leagues because they don't come out of big schools.
Right.
Division I schools or the big famous schools.
Mm.
There's a lot of famous athletes, not a lot, but there are, I'm sorry, a few, that come out of smaller schools.
Right.
And they have, you know, the risk of being passed over. I think of Stephen Curry. He came out of a small school in North Carolina, not a big, big school, and so he almost got passed over.
You know, I just read recently that, speaking of that, sports and now connecting it with our new world of technology, that some athletes are getting recognized and who were overlooked by putting their videos on YouTube or online, showing like their ability to do trick shots and all of these proficiencies that they have that will bring those recruiters back to give them a second look after they were passed over the first
time. That's very cool. Yeah, thank you for mentioning that. All right, the next paragraph, finally, we're running out of time, but let's quickly go over this. If you're interested in playing some of these games, you can go to another place, Pymetrics, and there are 12 games you can play on their website, and a mobile app is coming soon. And so the employers using Pymetrics tend to look for college-degree workers, but as employers sign on, that should expand, she predicts. So not just people who have a degree. People are looking for all kinds of people with different skill sets, and sometimes those people may not have a degree. So that's cool. They can pick these people out. They're like diamonds in the rough, we would say. Well, friends, I'm afraid we're out of time right now. We hope that you had a great time with us. We have another lesson tomorrow talking about the brain. We hope you join us for that. Until then, I'm Steve, and for all of us here at Studio Classroom, have a great day.